you notice, that hymn was written by Fanny Crosby, who was blind. Can you imagine her writing, "And I shall see him face to face"? Oh, what a privilege to even think about it. Every Lord's Day that I meet Mr. Hopkins, I say to him, "How are you?" "Well," he said this morning, "I'm all right, but I just wish I could see." His eyesight is going. And one of these days, you know, we're going to behold the King in his beauty. And that's the whole purpose of our lives as believers. We're saved by grace through faith. And faith believes when it cannot see. And the closing chapter, or the second last chapter of John's Gospel, in resurrection morning, our Lord said, "Blessed are they that have not seen, but yet have believed." And what a privilege is ours. We haven't seen, but we believe. And because we believe, there's joy in our soul. And Peter, when he wrote, he said, "Whom having not seen, we love, but in whom though now we see him not, yet believing," that's faith, "we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory." I invite you to turn to the second chapter of the Acts and to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and Acts chapter 2. A couple verses from each portion of the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, where we read, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer." Now from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we begin our reading at verse 12. Where we read, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee again for what thou art doing in the world today. Thou art taking out from among the Gentiles primarily a people for thy name. We thank you that thou hast called us by the name of the Lord. Thou hast placed us into the family of God by the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this one body concept that is given to us in Holy Scripture. And now as we study together, and then as we have the business meeting, we pray thee, O God, that thou wilt enable us with joy and with peace and with unity to approach thy word and rejoice in it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. What God is doing in the world is far more important than anything that man is doing. And what God is doing in this age, he is building the church. The church of Jesus Christ is the most important thing on earth. It's more important than your job. It's more important than anything else on earth. Everything on earth is going to pass away. But the church, the gates of hell, will never prevail against it. This is the truth of the New Testament. Now the church was still future when our Lord ministered to his own disciples. And of course, I'm one of those who believe that the church was begun on the day of Pentecost. The reason I believe it is because of the distinctive that we have in this age of the people of God. And I've asked this question of numerous men that I've been around who were theologically inclined in the last couple months. What is the one distinctive of the church of Jesus Christ? What distinguishes the church from Israel? Why don't we say that David was in the church? Now there are many who do. Many who do. Covenant theologians, for instance, say that David was in the church. But we don't. Why don't we? What makes the church? And I believe that this is a concept that we need to be brought to time and time again, because in our attitudes and activities, many times we forget what the Church of Jesus Christ is. And the great distinctive of the Church of Jesus Christ is what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. No one before the day of Pentecost was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Our Lord told the disciples to wait at Jerusalem until this particular thing happened. He said, which was spoken of by John the Baptist. Now, what is the baptizing work of the Spirit? The baptizing work of the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, is the one body of Christ into which everyone who believes has been placed by the Spirit of God. There is but one church, the church of Jesus Christ, and it is the church you cannot join. It is the church to which a person is joined by the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit when they believe. Now, when a person believes, according to Acts chapter 2, there are certain things that should follow in local church fellowship. These things are very important. These things that are enumerated in Acts chapter 2 become the foundation for the operation of a local testimony of God's people. You'll notice in verse 41 the results of Peter's activity on the day of Pentecost. Not only Peter's activity, but primarily the Lord's activity, but Peter was simply the human spokesman in proclaiming the gospel to those who were gathered. And in verse 41, we read the words, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." This is important. They that received his word. They that received his word were those who were born again by the Spirit of God. For the Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, that when ye received the word which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So receiving the word is synonymous with salvation. And this is a first step. Receiving the word, being born of God, then identifying oneself with the people of God. That is baptism. They were baptized. They that received the word were baptized, and it says, "And the same day there were added unto them." Unto whom? Unto the one body that had been formed by the coming of the Holy Spirit. "There were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And then we read this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer." These four things constitute a local church. Number one, they continued as it pleased them. No, it doesn't say that. It says they continued steadfastly. To be steadfast means that it's a continuous thing with the heart of the child of God. They continued steadfastly. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 on the great subject of the resurrection, he concludes his message with the coming of the Lord, the victory over death, and then he adds, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, what is the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' doctrine is the teaching of the New Testament. The apostles were given by God the privilege of giving to us the New Testament. They were the writers. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, for that's what the word doctrine means. And the apostles were busy teaching, so busy that in chapter 6 of the Acts, when a little dissension arose because some of the women who were widows thought they were not being treated properly as some of the others were, the apostles said, "We are not going to leave the word of God to serve tables. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God." Now that's an important passage. Preachers are to be given to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching. And in order for the apostles to have something to teach, they had to study the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had at that time. The New Testament was not yet written. But more than that, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. They were in fellowship one with another. Fellowship means that we are enjoying the company of one another. 1 John chapter 1 says, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." I think that's verse 7. But in the third verse it says, "These things have I written unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." That's verse 3. Now, beloved, if I understand that passage correctly, 1 John chapter 1, turn to it. I want you to see it. 1 John chapter 1. Where we read, verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. For truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now, notice John didn't say, "These things declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with me." He didn't say that. He used the plural pronoun us. "Ye may have fellowship with us." The us means plural. Who is the us? The apostles. In other words, you're not having fellowship, my friend, with Jesus Christ if you are not having fellowship with the apostles. It's an impossibility. In other words, to continue steadfastly in fellowship means you continue steadfastly in fellowship with the apostles. How can I be in fellowship with the apostles as I study and read the New Testament, as I obey its precepts? You see, there is no need to talk about having fellowship with the Father and with the Son if I'm not in fellowship with the apostles. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, what they taught. And what they taught is written down for us in the New Testament, preserved for us in the sacred canon. Therefore, to have fellowship with the Father and the Son means that we have that as we have fellowship with the apostles. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread. In other words, I'm one of those who believes that the Lord's Supper is a weekly fellowship to which the saints of God gather in the remembrance of our blessed Lord. I've had many preachers tell me down through the years, when they learned that we break bread every Lord's Day, they said, "Doesn't it become commonplace?" Well, I've been breaking bread now for quite a number of years. I've been breaking bread longer than many of you are old. And it has never become commonplace. It is the most exciting hour of the week to me. It is the most blessed experience to meet with the Lord in the remembrance of His Son. And notice it doesn't say they continued spasmodically. they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread. Beloved, this is so important. This is important in the life of the child of God. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, when Paul came to a place called Troas, the scripture says the disciples were gathered together not to hear Paul preach, and he was a great preacher. They were gathered together to break bread. It was on the first day of the week. And on the first day of the week is the time that I believe to break bread for the simple reason. I believe it's the time to give of your money. While we say very little about giving in this meeting, it is the only time we pass the offering plate. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tells us on the first day of the week, let every man lay by in store as God hath prospered him. It is our opportunity to give to the work of the Lord. But they not only continued in those three things, but they also continued in prayer. In prayer. Prayer is the exercise of the soul in the presence of God as we have the privilege of interceding and rejoicing before God in making our requests known unto Him and in God ministering and speaking to our hearts. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in the passage that we read there, concerning the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit, we learned that in verse 12, for as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. When you take a look at a coin of the United States, whether it be a quarter or a half a dollar or a dime or a penny, you find the words E pluribus unum on every coin. Now, what does that mean? It is Latin, which means out of many, one. Many being pluribus, unum, one. Out of many, one. We've all come from various countries. Most of us have emigrated, or our parents, grandparents, great-great-great-great-grandparents have emigrated here from Britain, France, Scotland, Wales, Germany, the Scandinavian countries. We've come from many countries, and the United States stands as one nation that has been made up of many nations. Out of many, one. Now the same thought is true when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ. We've come from many walks of life, and God has placed us by the baptizing work of the Spirit when we believed into what? One body. Now none of us have a difficulty with the one body. That never gives us any difficulty. We all acknowledge that. Our difficulties come when we look at these, or when we try to practice out of many. For we being many are one body, for we're all different. There are no two of us alike. We are all different. But God has placed us into the body of Christ, and He has placed us there in order that we may function in one body under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, a few weeks ago, on the Lord's Day morning, I presented what the brethren asked me to at the, and I also suggested it at the event business meeting concerning a Sunday school for all ages. Up until this time, many of us have not been in Sunday school for years and years and years. And change does not come easy. Change doesn't come easy for any of us. Now why haven't I been in Sunday school for years and years and years? For this reason. When I came to understand Acts chapter 2 and the importance of the worship service that we know of as the breaking of bread, I've always attended an assembly where the Lord's Supper was first on a Lord's Day morning. I've been there, unless hindered one way or another through illness or being out of town, I've been there at the Lord's Supper. Why? It's worship. It's giving to God. It's presenting Christ back to the Father in the various aspects that he has revealed himself to us through the ministry of the Word of God. And this is an important service. Now, in order to have Sunday school for everybody, it means making a change from having the Lord's Supper in the morning to having the Lord's Supper in the evening. And that has become a difficulty. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I've learned about it since. And that's the purpose tonight of our congregational meeting. And let me say this. We don't need a change immediately. And this is I'm speaking for Philip right now. You see, I like things just as they are. I like the Lord's Supper first, followed by preaching. The only reason that I'm interested in a Sunday school for everybody, and I've outlined my reasons to you, because you and I are not to look on our own things, but on the things of others. And I feel that we need more teaching. Number one, we need our families sitting together at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, because this is when most people go to church. It's a sad thing, I believe, in America today that we tip our hat to God many times on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and we think, I've done my duty for the week. And God knows that we're busy with this, that, and everything else throughout the week. And he gets many times the leftovers. But nevertheless, our purpose tonight is to find out whether you really want to have the Lord's Supper Sunday night. We're not out to divide an assembly. I'm interested in the unity of the people of God. We're not out to divide. We're out to know the wishes of the God's people. We know that this might inconvenience some, and we have to be ready to give and take. And we have to be ready to, above all else, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. No matter what we do, you'll never be able to change the one body aspect of the church. There will never be two bodies. There will only ever be one. God hasn't made two churches. He's only made one. And that's made up of everyone who believes. And we need to keep that before us in a special way as we come to grips with this matter. Now, we had planned to begin on the first Sunday in September. And that's only 1 month away, and I tell you, very little has been done. And people that I approached that I think would make excellent teachers have declined to teach. And that's another problem. And these are things that people must settle before the Lord. And if we don't have teachers, we can't have a Sunday school. And we're not given to volunteering, are we? And therefore, we need to know your wishes. And I trust that we'll find out tonight. We'll be able to hold to that which we've learned. There's one body. There are many members. And we've been added to that body by the baptizing work of the Spirit, and God expects us to continue steadfastly in four things. The apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Roy. Let's pray. Our Father, be pleased to work in our midst. Give us, we pray thee, the ability to grips with that which is necessary tonight. Give us wisdom, we pray thee. Help us, our God, to know what to do. If we're to remain as we are, give us that sweet ability to just acquiesce and say, thank you, Lord, for giving us direction. Your word declares we have not because we ask not. And we're asking. We're asking for we desire to glorify you. It is your church. It is your work. And we ask for wisdom. Oh God, give it to us. And may no one be hurt in any way, but may we be so in tune with thee that the mind of the Spirit will be manifest in our deliberations. For the Lord Jesus' sake, amen. Brother Roy.